Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And I was on the road. I was on that Greyhound.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lot of Amish people on the Greyhound, and I didn't think they could use technology like that. So I was very confused.
Okay, wait. Time out. Because I was backstory. We just recorded before this, but I couldn't ask you this yet. Walk us through the Greyhound story, because apparently you had a terrible time. Was this on the day of the birthday?
Yo, what's up, everybody? I'm to hear more.
I'm Patrick Cloud.
And this is another episode of Damn Internet, You Scary.
What up?
Yeah.
Live.
Just celebrated my birthday, man. Shout out to everybody that sent me birthday love. I appreciate y'all. I tried to respond back to everybody that text, called, and sent messages on Instagram. I wish Facebook has this thing now where, you know, they're trying to make it so people's deceased people's pages can still kind of engage with people.
Huh.
And I just really want them to come out with like a birthday thing. It's like, hey, this is the birthday post. You can comment under here. So yeah, all of them are in one place. I want that for Instagram and Facebook, bro. Cause like I get messages and then somebody make a post and then I get the tags from people tagging in that post. Like, just give me one. Cause I'm not a real big birthday person, but when people take it upon themselves and dedicate their time to wish me happy birthday, I do try to respond back because I do appreciate the effort. But it was a lot, bro. It was a lot, and I was on the road. I was on that Greyhound.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lot of Amish people on the Greyhound, and I didn't think they could use technology like that. So I was very confused.
Okay, wait. Time out. Because I was... Backstory, we just recorded before this, but I couldn't ask you this yet. Walk us through the Greyhound story, because apparently you had a terrible time. Was this on the day of the birthday?
This is on my birthday. So okay. let me give you like the last week and a half, 2 weeks of my birthday. I mean, of my life. I fly to St. Louis on the 14th. I have to do a show that night. That show. The next day, Sunday, the 15th. Do a show that night, and I'm in St. Louis for a couple of days. Then I have to fly back to LA to film Abbott on Friday. I film Abbott that Friday. I get a phone call from a good friend of mine who's a director, tells me to audition for this thing. Cool, I'm gonna do that. That Friday night, 10:40, I catch a flight to New York. Fly to New York for Saturday to do a show. Great show, sold out, amazing. Get a winter storm. I fly out at 6 a.m. the next morning, Sunday, to go to Detroit to do a show. Just beat the storm, have a great time in Detroit, cool. After Detroit, fly back to St. Louis. I'm in St. Louis for a couple of days doing some work and a couple of projects. And I fly back to L.A. on Saturday to do 2 shows and host a party. Sunday, I leave for a cruise. That's March 1st. Mm-hmm. Leave for a cruise. Go down to Ensenada for a couple days at sea. Come back on Thursday. Unpack, repack. Leave out Friday morning to go to Columbus, Ohio. Now, my plan was, I was supposed to do Columbus, Ohio on Friday, Louisville, Kentucky on Saturday, and Sunday I was going to do Chattanooga. Chattanooga, I hit my management up a couple times, like, yo, the tickets aren't moving. They got nervous, and it felt like they wanted to cancel, so I just went ahead and canceled. And my manager was like, you want to cancel or reschedule? I was like, cancel it. They don't believe in the kid. It's all good. We'll figure it out. So, boom, canceled that. So now I just got to do Columbus, Ohio, and Louisville, Kentucky. Fly to Columbus, Ohio, right? Both flights delayed. I'm like, this sucks. I might have to mess around and go straight to the venue when I land. I had the night before I flew out, I was looking for a rental car because my plan was to catch a rental car and drive to each one of these cities.
What day was this?
This is Friday.
Okay.
This is March 6th.
Okay.
I look for rental cars on the 5th. They're talking about $145 a day.
Damn.
Because I would be getting it from one location, dropping off in another city. It's like, so I'm like, well, I'm not paying $300 for a rental car for 2 days. That's insane, right? So I go and I look up flights. Maybe I can get a cheap one way, Spirit, it don't matter, right? $381 was the cheapest available flight. $400. So I look up my options and only thing available is Greyhound. 6 hour bus ride. Had to be at the bus stop at 5:30 in the morning.
Wait, how long was the flight though?
Flight probably was like an hour and a half, if that.
Damn.
But mind you,
damn,
I was out partying the night before because we had a great show. So I, you know, we turned it up, right? The bus stop, my boy, was literally just a bench and an awning. There wasn't a Greyhound station. It was it was a Greyhound stop that's literally just a bench at the awning at 5. You know, I dropped off at 5 in the morning, 5 a.m. in Columbus, Ohio. And these zombies are out. The zombies are out, right? What? And I got my big suitcase and my merch in there and my
what do you mean zombies? Bags.
Nigga, the wanderers of the night. All the ones that you can imagine are out.
That seems they late. 5? Damn.
Because it's still dark. So daylight savings didn't kick in until the next day. So it's still dark. It's dark as fuck, right? Bus comes, get on the bus. I immediately noticed there's hella Amish people. I'm like, I thought y'all couldn't fuck with this technology like that.
Buses?
Bro, I thought it was just all horse and carriage.
Well, it was Friday, you know, it wasn't Saturday. I feel like you can't do that shit on Saturday. They had to get somewhere before Saturday.
Bro, it was phones going off, and I'm watching them watch videos, and I'm like, y'all got Instagram? You niggas be capping, bro. You damn. Babies crying, all types of shit, bro. And I had more. Oof. I think there was a bathroom on there. I never got out of my seat.
Was the seat comfortable, at least?
No. Here's the crazy bit. So the seat, goddamn me, it only reclined a little bit. Like, it's this as far back as I can go. Yeah. But they had a headrest that had two protruding, like pillows. So, like, it was supposed to hold your head in place. But if you wanted to lean on a window, this was kind of blocking it. So, it pushed your head forward. So, I couldn't even recline to lean back. I had to recline the seat and then sit forward and then lean on the window like that. It was just a lot. But got to Louisville, Kentucky. Got picked up.
6 hours.
Went to the airport.
Did they serve lunch? Did they stop for food or anything?
Bro, somebody around me kept farting, and I couldn't prove it, but it smelled like the farts were getting wetter. And I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to explain that revelation, but it's like, oh, he finna shit in a minute. Because these went from dry to moist.
Did you have to sit next to somebody?
No, look, I paid extra to not sit next to somebody.
Okay. Wow. I've only heard horrible things about Greyhounds. Was it dirty? Was it a dirty bus?
You know, I got on so late that I couldn't really see, but I saw, like, you know, scattered stuff and people eating on the floor and stuff like that. Halfway through the trip, though, we did stop at a Greyhound station. Everybody had to get off the bus, and then they cleaned the bus for like 20 minutes.
Oh, good.
And then we get back on, and then we finish the trip.
Do you know how nasty of a environment you have to have these power wash sessions?
Bro,
the niggas probably dealt with the worst shit to have a little clean session mid-trip.
You know what? The craziest thing about this, when you are chasing like a dream, like comedy, and you find yourself in one of these weekends, you really start to question, like, am I forcing this? Like, am I? You know what I'm saying? Like, I travel with Kev and Tony. We didn't take first class trips, and we didn't flew across the country. We flew out of the country, you know, staying 5-star hotels. When I do this on my own, I'm on a Greyhound. Am I forcing this? But on that same wavelength, I had to remind myself, it was like, when you tell the universe you're ready for the next level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when you proclaim, hey, I'm ready to do this on my own. I'm ready to, like, you know, grow my fan base, grow my subscribers, my followership. The universe is going to test you. And this is really a test, and not even a test. This was just a display of humility, like what you're willing to do to make it happen. I could have paid the $300 for the car. I could have paid the $400 for the flight. It didn't seem economically sound. You know what I mean? So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to take this option right here because it's going to get me there. Yeah, it's not the most glamorous, but I'm still going to be able to get there in enough time. I don't have to worry. Like, buses don't be breaking down like that. They really don't be delayed. So honestly, like, I probably had more luck and better timing with the bus than I did with a flight or something like that. And because I was on the bus, I was able to get 6 hours of sleep, or the better part of like 5 hours of sleep, because I'm not having to drive and I don't have to get off and change planes or any of that type of stuff. So when you look at it, step back and like take your ego out of it. I had to deal with some smells. Okay, cool. I put a little cologne on my finger and I wiped the bottom of my nose and now I smell that for the next 3 hours.
Is that really what you did?
Hell yes. I do that on planes too.
Interesting.
Yeah, just put it right around the mustache part right there. If you don't have sensitive skin, it should be fine. But bro, like when you're grinding, you'd be like, fuck, I just gotta do what I gotta do, bro. I gotta get in there. This is the requirement. This is what's required of me. And honestly, like, I think this was my first time taking a Greyhound. But, like, my mom has taken Greyhounds before. And if my mom is strong enough to do that, she can press through it, she can make that shit happen. And, like, who am I to, like, bitch out and be like, I can't. My mom is a gangster, man. And speaking of my mom and highlighting all the women, I want to give all the women a big shout out because we're taking a moment to celebrate the women and all that they carry at work, at home, in relationships, in families, the many roles that you all carry on every day. I want to say, the podcast wants to say, and BetterHelp wants to say, thank you. All right. We are definitely appreciating and acknowledging and lifting up all the women in the world this episode and going forward. Man, honestly, every day should be Women's Appreciation Day, man. Shout out to all the women, man. Just want to let you know that this episode is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. And on this episode, I want to thank you. The podcast wants to thank you. BetterHelp wants to thank you and lift you guys up and let you know that you are amazing for all the work that you do and work and relationships and families and all the many hats that you carry throughout the day. We want to say thank you. Want to take a moment to celebrate the women in our life who have had a lasting and memorable impact on us. For me, my mom was, I mean, she did it all. We lived in one state. She worked in another state. She made sure I went to school in that state. So in her eyes, I would get the better education, but also I could be close to her in case something happened. My mom went to bat for me. My mom protected me. She ensured my success by pushing for me to get into math and science and technology schools, making sure that I was part of musical programming and band and marching and concert band. She wouldn't let me play tennis. And for a very long time throughout my childhood, I was very upset that I couldn't play football or basketball. But because my asthma, she was worried about me playing contact sports. But because I played tennis and I had private lessons from like seventh grade until when I got to high school, I was automatically on the tennis team. And when I went to college, they didn't even have a tennis team. But I told them I had played. And they said, if I get enough people and find a coach, then they would give me a scholarship. And that's what they did. But this was all because my mom saw something in me and fought for it and encouraged me and loved on me. So shout out to my mom, man. Women, you guys deal with a lot. It's crazy to think that it wasn't that long ago that women couldn't have their own bank accounts. Like, men had to co-sign for a woman to have her own bank account or her own credit card or the right to vote. So all the things that women have had to endure, I just want you to know, I see you. I appreciate you. BetterHelp sees you. They appreciate you. They're encouraging you. They are also encouraging you to make sure that you're taking care of your mental health. Your emotional well-being matters. And you can feel lighter in finding support in therapy. So we always want to encourage you guys, because there's no wrong time to sign up for therapy. But if you sign up right now to get help at BetterHelp, you get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/DIYS. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DIYS. And we thank y'all, as always. Maybe I don't know if that one works. But we can cut all of the beginning part out and then start at the other part. Oh, we're not live, right? Are we live? I can't tell.
I can't tell because our comments. I can't see any comments.
Yeah, I'm not logged in on this one, so we might be, but I don't know. Because I think she said, well, yeah, I'm going to go live.
We are live.
Shout out to people that are watching it. Oh, you're live. Okay, cool.
We are absolutely live.
I'm not signed in. I just clicked the link. So, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, man, we got some cool little icebreakers and stuff like that. Shout out to Hippie for finding these icebreakers. Would you fake your own death to start over?
Start over, like, new name and...
New everything. Name, no bills, new credit score, in friendship, relationships, all of that.
Mm-mm. Absolutely not. That would be crazy. I feel like that would be crazy. I don't see, because I feel like, you know, spent the best part of 15 years building a pretty good brand. So I kind of like everything that I'm working on. I feel like the last maybe half year has been kind of like just cutting out everything else and just like trying to focus. So I would definitely not fake my own death.
Man, you know what's crazy? It's like, I remember when that tax shit first happened, and I was like, man, where I can go to just start over again.
But the tax shit?
Yeah, that tax shit. But now it's like, you know, I don't know. Like, it's weird. I really have been motivated by just advancing and just finding like the real goal of all the things that I'm doing and why I want to do it, and not let money be the motivator and the driving force behind it. And since I've been moving with that mindset and like really engaging, not just like thinking about it, but like really engaging with that, like even with this weekend, like those shows are cool, but they ain't gonna take care of like the next 3 months, anything like that. They're gonna pay some bills this month and next month. But once I started moving with that mindset, like, no, this is what it takes to get to that next level and grow the following and the support and all of that type of stuff. Things have just been working out. Like, I didn't even think about a Greyhound initially. I just was like, well, I'm not gonna freak out about this costing this much and this costing this much. I'm gonna just find a way. And then literally like 2 seconds later, the Greyhound thing popped in my mind. I checked it. It was like $64. I was like, all right, well, give me that. I'll push through. And now with that mindset, when I think about the tax thing, it's like, well, fuck it. It's just money. As long as I'm paying them something, eventually I'm going to get a check where I'm able to take care of all of that. And now I know going forward how to handle, so I never find myself in a situation again. Mm-hmm. But now everything just seems a lot more achievable and plausible now, just moving with a different mindset, bro.
Yeah, I mean, and it's also like a really good story too, you know, because I think that it's important to experience both sides of things. I remember Steve Harvey said like everybody should at least one time in their life save up to fly first class one time in their life. And then once they're experienced to that, they almost something awakens in them to maybe want to work harder to achieve that. And then when you get used to that and then you take a step backwards sometimes and it almost makes you appreciate, you know, like the other thing. So I think that like, that's dope that what sounds like a horrible experience can be like something that you could think about when you are in those first class scenarios. Cause you'd be like, yeah, this is crazy. I remember I was at the Greyhound, you know, makes the story that much more interesting.
Yeah, man, it's different, man. And you know, like we all grew up here. We got to have the rainy days to make the sunny days special, or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, you know, applying that to different things in your life sometimes takes a little work for you to understand how, you know, this bad month or this bad year is setting you up for 5 good years, or just putting you on the right track because you needed to lock in and you weren't going to be able to lock in if everything was going right this year. But because you don't have outlets, you can't go here, you can't afford to go here, you got to just lock in. Now you're able to prepare for those next opportunities and you're ready to knock them out of the park when they approach because you're locked in. So last year was probably one of the most difficult years of my life.
Really?
Hands down. But this year started off like so different And I really attribute it to just the different mindset that I'm in, therapy, shaving off a lot of people and behavior from my life. Like, you know me, I used to kick it, baby. We go to Blind Barber or something like that. I'm buying drinks, I'm having a good time. That shit, I'm not doing all that because people start to expect that from you. You know what I'm saying? And they just hang around, just wait for you to get them a drink and stuff like that. And it's just like, I don't even need to be here. Like, this drinking ain't helping right now. Not when my weight goes. I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying? I want to take my shirt off. This ain't helping. So, and then I also started looking at the people that I admire and aspire to get to a certain level of success where they are, like a Kev and a Tony. And I did an inventory and also just looked at a comparison of what they were doing versus what I wasn't doing and vice versa. They weren't going out partying 2-3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They ain't spending X amount of dollars at the bar. They not trying to make every comedy show. They turned down a lot of stuff. And so I started, adjusting my lifestyle to kind of mimic more of their good behavior. So I could just encourage those positive things to come my way and just be ready when they do approach. So, a lot of that made a difference too. I'm not gonna hold you. Made a big difference.
Damn.
Yeah, man.
Party to hear era is over.
It's over, man. And I ain't gonna hold you. I ain't even looking forward to going back. I've been having a good time, like, staying focused because I've been so busy with the things that I really want to do. It's not, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. Yeah. So I've been chilling, bro. Yeah, I mean, shit. Yeah, honestly, you ain't been smoking. You've been going to the gym. You walking around in Mr. Maya shorts. You doing all right, man. Let's jump into this next whatchamacallit before we jump into the topics. Here we go. Ooh. Would you rather survive on a deserted island alone or with someone you hate?
You got to go with someone you hate, right? Because...
Do you?
I think so because of the workload. You ever be watching them survival shows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know how to do a lot of that shit, but I feel like when it comes to like chopping wood, like if survival, first of all, I don't hate anybody that much. You
right,
know?
Right.
So more than likely, they don't like me for some stupid reason. So I feel like we can get past that. And then when it comes down to like, oh, we both in this bitch together, we about to die. I think that you could put pretty much anything to the side and work together. Or if you can't, different, you can have a whole side of the island, you know. And then I feel like whatever was making us upset back in civilization.
Kind of goes out the window.
Really, it's not a matter. Yeah.
So hit me just put on a screen. Like, what if the other person is lazy though?
And that's why you don't like them.
Mm.
Damn. Because then that's just another. Well, I guess it doesn't have to be, but it's just another.
So then that's just somebody you taking care of. I was watching one of the episodes of Naked and Afraid. I think it was Exhale, and they were in this like extreme part of Africa, and this guy on the first day got lightheaded and dizzy, and he had to like take the rest of the day off, and then he couldn't help with the shelter, and the next day he was still kind of woozy and he couldn't even go get the water. And then when he was feeling better, he only wanted to do what he wanted to do. He was like, oh, I'm gonna go hunt with my bow and arrow. Came back empty-handed, and then came back and was like, oh, I'm feeling bad again, I need to go lay back down. And eventually he tapped out because he was like, I'm holding y'all down. But for like 3 days, he did nothing. You know what I mean? So you could get one of those partners.
Yeah.
I feel like being alone is a better story at the bar. Being alone guarantees you the book deal when you get back.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could be a better story than it really was.
That's what I'm saying, bro. It's the better story.
Niggas fight the book deal. A tiger.
Bro, you get to do the press run by yourself. Hey, man, listen, I get it. Like, you made a lot of good points with the chopping wood and looking for food. But, imagine this person hasn't been doing any work and you catch a fish and it's not a big fish. But now you got to share that small fish with somebody that ain't really been carrying that work. Because you don't want to be asshole and like people's lives on the line. But at the same time, this person ain't doing nothing versus you being alone and you catch that fish and you get to enjoy the whole thing by yourself.
No, I think you're right. I think alone is better because now I'm thinking of like the team survival shows, and it's never like perfect synergy. It's very rare. There's always somebody overeating or underworking mm-hmm. or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it might just be nice to be alone, you know, yeah. like it might, it, like, because that's like the truest form of being out there in nature. It's not like camping or glamping, you know, that's like for real.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
you think that you kind of like have it mapped out what you would do in a scenario like that?
Of course, but that goes back to Mike Tyson's quote, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I think, you know, in this situation, I'm going to shut up shelter, close to water, not too close, because I don't want to be around the animals and all that type of stuff. But on that first day, I've seen so many of those survivor shows where people hurt themselves on the first day, building their shelter with yeah. the tool that they have. They yeah. slice their hand open or something like that, or their foot, and they're just out for the rest of the time, or they have to tap out. So I think I would be okay, but I don't know. Like, I know how to fish. I know how to set a couple of traps. I know how to start fire.
You know how to set traps?
Yeah, I mean, just when like
snares
watching the stuff. Yeah, like just small snares and stuff like that. And then like the trio. I don't know how to do the fish trap though. When they weave it, that part I don't know how to do.
Wait, so you can skin and butcher an animal too?
Just fish. I don't know how to skin like large cattle and all that. Like I wouldn't know what.
I don't think I would want to eat it, but at the end. Like, I maybe think I could push through and do the skinning and the chopping up, but I don't know if I'd be hungry after. But then again, you'd be starving. So
you'd be starving. Right. You'd be starving. Because I'd be seeing people, like, I've watched a couple episodes of Alone when they caught the fish and they just ate it raw. Like, just. And I was like.
For real?
Yeah. I mean, it's sushi. And it's not like chicken.
No.
It's not like eating chicken that you can, like. No, I mean, they would clean it. And mm-hmm. gut it, and then they would just like take a bite of the fillet that they have left from that. But let me go mine on this rock and heat this rock up real quick, because they be doing the soup. They boil the fish that way. You can get the nutrients in the broth, and you can boil the fish heads and get the nutrients from all the parts of the fish, and they eat the eyes of the fish. I'm like, nigga, yeah, I don't ever want to be
the fish heads. Yeah,
like, I don't want to be that trapped.
That's when I realized, like, you have to be willing to do anything, because they be eating liver and raw fish head and all that stuff. But I was just having this conversation the other day. I feel like using one of your items on like seasoning isn't a terrible idea, because everybody's just eating literally like boiled whatever.
I would beat your ass.
You would? What do you
I would
mean?
Beat your motherfucking ass if we are naked and fresh. No.
What you mean? You
would be, you on the call?
You would be so happy.
Pat said he would use one of his items on Naked and Afraid for seasoning. He would bring seasoning.
I feel like
I would beat his motherfucking ass
until it was time to eat, though.
We got to catch it. I know. But he was just saying, like, but when we caught it.
Until it's time to eat. Until it's time to eat, though.
I would beat your I pull out a fire starter or a machete or a bow and arrow or a fishing cord and hooks, and you bring out some lorries, I'm beating your ass.
But think about it. Think about how useful that is. It will make food tolerable for our entire time there. Think about how many people just had the moose jerky and fish jerky, and they were like, this sucks.
Thinking about how many views this episode is going to get, because I'm like, this is the first fight on Naked and Afraid. I'm chasing you.
I think
you better run like a gazelle, nigga. You better run like a gazelle.
I think that's an overreaction.
If you pull out lorries out of that fucking cloth bag.
I think that would be a very valuable amenity. Think about it. If we were selling equipment, I feel like that would be top tier with fishing hooks. It would be my salt seasoning salt and fishing hooks and then like traps and all that stuff underneath. That's a legit, because think about how many things that people bring and it don't work out anyway. They can't even use it. Of course, I want the ghillie net and the knife and the fire and stuff like that. But at that 10th, you might swap a pan out for some seasoning. And now squirrel tastes cool, fish tastes cool, moose. What else they be catching?
You know what tastes cool when you starving? Anything, nigga. Anything. Anything with a little char on it tastes amazing when you're starving.
Have you ever eaten anything with zero seasoning?
Yes, I have tons of white friends.
They be trying, though. They be putting like 10%, 15% out of 100, which is still a little bit. Now, it would be a value pack seasoning. If that helps, it'd be a bigger one.
No, we can't. Oh, are you talking about like, I thought you were talking about like one of the ones like you could change the top and it's a different seasoning or something. I'm like, they don't make those.
I don't think that's the thing. No, I mean, if you want to be out there for 80 days, I would get the biggest container possible.
Yeah. Bro.
I think that's a good addition.
They would not allow you to get in the back of the truck to drive you to the drop-off spot. They'd be like, we can't let you go like this.
Big Why dog. Not?
They'd be like, bro, you brought seasoning salt?
That'd be a first.
It would definitely be a first.
It'd be a first.
Listen, that episode is going to do crazy numbers out the gate.
And then you would have, like, scientists backing me up, like, well, salt, you know.
Nigga, ain't no fucking salt. Shut the
So it's like there's probably some elements to it that like make it so that you have an advantage.
Bro, they gotta pair you with somebody that has done it before and like is like an elite survivalist. And I want to see that person's face when you bring out the fucking seasoning salt.
I think as long as we got the main stuff covered, that would be a good addition.
You're bringing half of the main stuff. You're bringing half of the fire starter, the water pot, the fishing line, the bow and arrow, the machete. One of those typically doesn't come. Sometimes they give you the water pot, depending on the terrain. They'll give you that's a given, right?
No, but pot, I think there's one of them.
That sometimes they give you that, right? But sometimes they don't. So imagine the person brings a machete. You got an opportunity to bring a pot, and you bring some lorries.
Okay, well, so you obviously got to go with tarp. Got to go with pot. Got to go with fire starter. Got to go with fishing hooks. Got to go with the net.
You only get one thing to bring, Pat.
Saw. Huh? It's 10 things.
No, they give you one thing. On Naked and Afraid, they give you one. Each person gets to bring one personal item.
Oh, I was going with alone. No. I wouldn't bring it as my one item. I was thinking.
Nigga, I was going to say.
I was thinking alone rules where you get 10. You get 10. Okay. So I was thinking, yeah, I would one item with that would be crazy.
Do you see the absurdity of it? Naked and Afraid, bro. When you get one item, and I was like, you gonna bring what, nigga?
No, bringing. I mean, honestly, 1 out of 10 is still crazy, but 1 out of 1 is insanity. No, okay, I've never seen Naked and Afraid actually.
What?
What do they be bringing? What's the most common thing?
The machete, the fire starter. Tarp, fishing line, bow
and
arrow.
They only get one of those?
So one person gets to bring one each.
And how many people are there?
Two.
Oh, shit. And
you out there for 21 days.
Oh, yeah, that would be crazy. That would be funny as hell.
Yeah,
no. Tarp and Larry's.
Bro. We got to do that as a sketch, bro. to here in park on
the do they not? No, that would be hilarious. No, I assume we had all the stuff to catch the actual food first, and then we could season it. But yeah, 1 out of 10 is crazy.
God, I would be so fucking mad at you. I would be so fucking mad if you brought that fucking Caesar salt out of that line cloth bag. You'd be like, I brought some Caesar. They'd be like, you brought what? I would waste it on the first day because I would have knocked that shit so far out of your fucking head. And then I'd be mad on the second day when we catch something. I'd be like, God damn. But still, dog. Okay. Let's just jump into one of these topics. That's the clip right there.
That's hella funny.
Meta AI Ray-Bans glasses sending private footage of humans, of people to human reviewers. So cool. This is just like what happened with the Waymos when They were just brought before the Congress, so they did some Senate hearing and found out that there are people that actually drive the Waymos when, now, just to be clear, when they do this stuff with the Waymos, it's typically in a situation where the Waymo is like stuck, like on a parking lot or in a parking structure, and it can't get out. That's typically when the human interaction and the autonomy merge. They are not driving all the time. So I know a lot of people are like, well, how are these people driving? And their rules aren't the same as our rules and laws and all that type of stuff. They are typically not driving the whole route. There's minimum human interaction. And that's supposed to be the selling point of it. But with this whole Meta thing, Meta sold 7 million Ray-Ban AI glasses in 2025. And according to a bombshell investigation, footage captured by those glasses, people undressing, having sex, exposing bank cards is being reviewed by Meta employees in Nairobi, Kenya. So Meta's random response? It's in the terms of service. The blurring tool meant to protect identities. Workers say it fails constantly. One contractor said it best. You think that if they knew about the extent of the data collection, no one would dare use the glasses.
I mean, shit, I didn't even... I have the glasses. Never thought to shoot porn like that. That's genius.
It's a different POV, my boy.
That is genius. You got both hands. That was the main problem with POV in the first place. It was intrusive. You were like this to them, but you just got the glasses on with a little flash,
right? Or you're not looking through the camera, because if you're smashing and you film through the camera, you need to be looking through the camera. You know, some people be smashing, they still be looking like this. Got to look through. It's like when you film a fight. The best way to film a fight is looking through the phone. But with the glasses on, you know what I'm saying? The use of both arms, all the extremities. You know what I'm saying?
The only problem is you'll see it'll be like off to this. You got to be like this to see it.
Yeah, you got
to
be like this. You.
Which sucks. I hate that. You're going to see some beautiful titties, and then they're going to be kind of off camera. And you're going to be looking at the footage like, damn.
You're looking at the footage, you're like, I didn't even get there. You can't even see. It stops at her belly button. It don't
even the smoke alarm and half of her head.
You got to wear them around your neck so the sensor still catches something.
They need to fix that. I saw some Meta glasses. They were like Oakley's. And it was a black dude wearing them. But the camera was right in the middle. And I was like, why aren't they all like that?
Really? I didn't even know that was a design. Maybe that was a one-off or like some dupe or something like that, or another brand that just...
But it makes perfect sense, because the off to the right ain't it.
Yeah. Hey, man, what you over there eating? Are you just eating raw potatoes? That looks like raw potatoes. Are those raw russet potatoes?
There's grapes. Oh, in the bowl. Oh, it's mangoes and grapes.
Okay.
That would be crazy. Like, what caveman diet is that?
Hey, man, listen, I don't judge. You know what I'm saying? As long as you don't bring seasoned salt to Naked and Afraid, hey, man, we got free.
As the one item free. Is, that is insane.
Bro, I thought you were insane. I thought you were insane saying that. let's go with, this one, good one. So you guys, you've been with us for a while. You know the video we've done on Dr. Love, the kid that was pretending to be a doctor, got arrested, got out, started another, kept starting doctor offices. Well, we got someone who may have been able to work in his office because there was a fake nurse that treats 4,000 plus patients who just got caught. 29-year-old woman worked as a fake nurse for over 7 months. She's treated over 4,000 patients and was only caught after she was offered a promotion. Autumn Bardisi began working in Florida in 2023 after allegedly using fraudulent credentials to obtain a job. Investigators say she used another nurse's license number and worked as if she was a registered nurse. Authorities later determined that during her time at the hospital, she was involved in the care of around 4,486 patients. The deception reportedly came to light in 2025 when the hospital reviewed her credentials during a promotion process and discovered that the nursing license number she had provided actually belonged to someone else. Following the investigation, Bardisa was arrested in 2025 and charged with practicing healthcare without a license and identity-related offenses.
But was she good, though? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you can scam yourself into a position and you're good at it, it'd be like, ah, like you should just, you know, kind of be like, ah, you got us, you know, kind of like mm-hmm. Leonardo DiCaprio. Like if you learn,
right.
if she was just
catch her if you can.
Yeah. If she was just treating these people and giving them the stuff that ChatGPT tells you to do.
Right. Or maybe like she was coming from the whole holistic side of it. She wasn't like giving medicine, anything like this, but she had a gentle spirit, you know what I'm saying? That brought people calmness and put them at ease. So when the doctor came in and they delivered bad news, they were in a better space to receive it. Mm-hmm. So if she was doing that, you know what I'm saying? Let Shorty live. Let Manda live. She out here doing the Lord's work.
But also, like, what is the gatekeeping process in medicine? Because it seems really easy. It seems really easy to do this. Yes. So, like, between the actual gatekeeping of starting this and keeping it up, is it? Can anyone do this at this point?
Bro, you know what's crazy is like when we had the stories about the kid that kept doing it. I'm like, how is he renting this place and outfitting it as a doctor's office, and nobody's questioning it? But I mean, all the dentist offices and one-off doctor's offices that I pass by, I never question it. I don't go to them, but I never question, like, I wonder if they're credential holding offices right here. Like, you just assume that they are because they have the space. But my thing is, like, she was able to use someone else's credentials. There's no, like, CODIS for nurses. Mm-hmm. Like, they're, like, you know, if my DNA is entered into a system and it's a hit for something else, like, there's no checks and balances, like when it comes to the nurse's credentials and doctor's credentials?
Thought it was way harder. That's like, I mean, that's kind of like the same level as, like, if I was just a cop tomorrow, and I was just walking around doing police shit and on my radio, and I got caught, like, for years later. Like, I thought that process was very official to do that. Now I'm kind of side-eyeing almost everything involving medicine. I'm side eyeing because, like, you ever seen those, like, plazas that are usually like food and hair salon?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and then be one random,
right? And it'll just say dentist. It's not even like a doctor's name or something. It's just dentist.
You got to go in and actually see the license, and then just Google it right away just to make sure that person come up. That's the only way to save yourself at this point, because I don't know what's happening right now.
So many people are faking it till they make it on a business level. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's not good, people. Let's try something else.
Damn.
This one is for the vloggers out there, all of my influencers, man. Be careful, because this food vlogger died after eating a poisonous devil crab. I don't even know what that is. That's why I'm
devil crab.
That's why I don't be fucking with the seafood like that, man.
Devil crab.
Yeah. So, food blogger has passed away after eating a toxic devil crab for content. Emma Amit was a 51-year-old Filipino food content creator known for sharing seafood, foraging, and cooking videos from her seaside home. And on February 4th, 2026, she filmed herself gathering shellfish and crabs and eating what she later learned was a poisonous species known as the devil crab. The crab's flesh contains powerful heat-resistant neurotoxins that can cause paralysis and respiratory failure. Her death has sparked warnings from local officials about the dangers of consuming unfamiliar wildlife, especially for online content.
That's really sad. I originally thought it was going to be like from a business, but I mean, that's the thing with foraging. Like, that's super sad, but this happens with mushrooms a lot. Like, people go out there kind of uninformed and they think it's something else, or it might look like a different species and it's poisonous. So, I mean, that kind of come with it. It says she was foraging crabs and all types of stuff from her
shellfish.
Yeah. And she didn't know what it was. She didn't know it was a poisonous species, right? It wasn't like just radiation or something.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That shit kind of looked poisonous. I'm not even going to lie.
He kind of strapped up.
He looked, you know, that looked poisonous. Yeah. Damn. So wait, how'd she upload the video?
She probably was already live streaming it.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. That's bad. That was actually the most poisonous looking crab I've ever seen. Shit.
I can't.
Yeah, I mean, I need a.
What we finna say about a mukbang? What we finna say?
I wasn't gonna say nothing. I was gonna say rest in peace, and then you kind of stopped.
I was just trying to
rest in peace to the fallen. That's what I was gonna say. You can't just be eating shit. Yeah, you can't just be eating shit. I would never recommend that to a content creator.
Yeah, you can't. You got to be careful out there, man.
I will never be the first review on something.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not the first reviewer on, and Pat has tried it, a couple of my friends have tried it, a lot of you all have tried it, and that's IndieCloud, okay? When you're having a stressful day, you've had a long day, you're having a long week, March Madness is coming up, you know what I'm saying? You might be, you know what I'm saying, out here hanging with your friends, getting very involved, very energetic about this game. You expend a lot of energy in it and get home. You need to relax. Well, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to get with IndieCloud, okay? It is a fully legal online cannabis dispensary with gummies, exotic flower, premium pre-rolls, and zero sugar THC sodas. It is a clean, alcohol-free way to unwind without turning one good decision into three questionable ones. And you guys know what I mean, you know what I mean? You done other things where you might have partied a little hard. Now you texting somebody late night. You checking on them. You trying to figure out what's going on, what's new. No, we not doing that. We're not doing that over here with IndieCloud. Everything is federally legal hemp, THC, lab tested, and shipped discreetly to your door, which is helpful because this season already has enough moving parts. It's a lot going on, guys. Let's just keep it real. Every day we wake up, we finding out something else is happening. And I'm being honest with you, I'm about sick of it. I appreciate IndieCloud for being a vehicle for relief for your boy. So if you're 21 or older, get 35% off your first order plus free shipping at IndieCloud with code DIYS at IndieCloud.co. Again, you use the code DIYS at IndieCloud.co. Again, that's if you're 21 and older, you get 35% off your first order plus free shipping with the code DIYS at IndieCloud.co. The semicolon colon thing always throws me off.
Yeah, colon is just straight up two dots.
Two dots. That's what that was. Semicolon is the dot in it.
So I'll raise you this. When is the best time to use a semicolon? I get the colon. I use it all the time. Semicolon is like, here's a word. Now I'm about to explain what that word is, or
I thought the colon was the explanation of it, and the semicolon was more elaborating on the previous statement that you had made.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I saw conjunctive and
to connect two closely related independent clauses, complete sentences without a coordinated conjunction. To separate complex items in a list that already contain commas or to join independently. Okay.
I'm more confused. To connect two closely related independent clauses.
Without a conjunction verb like however or therefore. It acts as a stronger pause than a comma, but weaker than a period.
I like that.
Stronger than a period. Yeah, stronger than a comma.
That made so much sense.
Yeah, but weaker than a period.
Stronger than a comma, weaker than a period. And we're just talking about semicolon, right?
I think so. That's a semicolon, right, Hippie? I think that's what that was.
What part of school is that?
English, writing, literature, all of that. That would be on the grammar, English, literature. It should all come there.
Punctuation, right?
Punctuation. Yeah, you should learn all of that. Probably you learn the top five, period, comma, exclamation point, question mark, all that. You learn all of that in like middle school. I mean, grammar school. But you start getting more into the punctuation with the semicolon, the colon.
Do you know when to use do you know when to use brackets when it's not math?
When I was growing up, you could use it. I felt like you could use it in the same place you would use a comma. Like if you're like, we went to comma, fudgery, comma, chocolate store, the fudgery. You know the fudgery?
Uh-uh.
Never heard of the fudgery?
What's the fudgery? place sounds magical.
Well, it's kind of like they had the Fudgery, they had Chocolate Mountain, but the Fudgery in St. Louis, and I was just somewhere where they had a Fudgery at. Where was I walking around?
Is this a candy store or an amusement park?
Yeah, it's a candy store where they make the chocolate in store, and they'll like the Fudgery that I used to go to in St. Louis. They would be singing, so they had like some of the best singers, and they would all be singing and have you sing along. Bro, because they would be putting on the show. Yes, they'd be putting on the show. They'd be chopping up the chocolate, like they mixing it together. You see them mix it together.
For real?
Like the spatula, and they would do like tricks with it, like make an arch with it. They make waves with it when they got it like the right consistency. Bro, it's a whole thing. Then they give out free samples, and then they would get people to buy the chocolate that they have available. But they would make it so engaging. So they would get, it was like a tourist trap. It was definitely a tourist trap. But they would be singing, Nate. Off, bro. It was crazy. It was a show that I would go get every day because I would walk through Union Station in St.
Every
Louis.
Day.
I would catch a bus down in Union Station. And then I would walk through Union Station to catch the Metro Link. While walking through Union Station, there was a place called the Fudgery. And the Fudgery, they used to, this is the place that they, oh, I got to find some footage for you.
Was it a big location or was it like a little shop?
It was like a storefront. So it wasn't like the cart. They actually had a storefront. Like you walk up to the counter and you place your order. There would be somebody out front. They would come and start singing and get people to build a crowd. And then they would come in and that's how they would get, bro. The Fudgery was a whole thing.
So what were they selling? Like chocolate bars or?
Like bricks of chocolate. You can get it cut into small pieces. They would do it by the weight. So you get like a pound, half a pound, quarter pound. And they had two different types like chocolate. They had fudge. They had white chocolate. They had like caramel and chocolate, butterscotch and stuff, and they had some with nuts and some without nuts. It was all types of candy, bro.
And is this a chain? Did you think this was like everywhere?
I don't know. Let me see if I can look it up.
St. Louis.
I literally just saw another place called the Fudgery. Yes, was it yesterday? I don't know if it was yesterday or Sunday when I was in whatchamacallit.
It sounds. It literally sounds like movie-esque. Like it sounds like it's from a
bro. It really was. Movie. If you had never seen it before, you would.
It's like Willy Wonka with Tim Chalamet, yeah. Where everybody was singing.
Oh, okay. Might be able to do this one. Let's see. Let me turn the Bluetooth off, so I can play this. Oh my God, they got it. Okay. Here we go.
You recorded this?
Nah, this on YouTube.
Damn.
This ain't a good one. I wasn't gonna sing it like that.
Hey, first of all, that's so much blacker than I thought. I don't know why I just thought white people with fudge and musicals and stuff. I thought it was like Christmas carols. They were doing runs and everything.
The Fudgery at St. Louis Union Station. They be checking their ass too.
Is he making fudge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Black people singing and making fudge is hilariously wholesome. That's so wholesome.
They're like the arch.
I just realized I don't know how fudge is made because I don't know what he's doing. That shit looks like he's just smearing pizza sauce everywhere.
Yeah.
This went from a funny story to something I'm actually like intrigued about.
Bro,
that looks cool as hell.
They would be.
I want to see a comedy series like The Office, but niggas is working at the Fudgery.
Bro, it was so good. And it was always a crowd around because people would, like literally, people go on dates in Union Station. They had an arcade, go to the arcade, get something to eat upstairs at the food court. And then you would just hang around 30 minutes and watch the show. In 30 minutes, you might see two shows. And you see people singing. And I'm talking about they singing like Jermaine Dupri finna walk through. They be putting it all out there because they would get people from the church singing and stuff like that. They would do remixes to songs and stuff like that. It was a good time, bro. I ain't thought about this in years. That's crazy.
I definitely didn't think it was like church singing. That makes it so much cooler. I thought it was like musical, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory type of thing.
Nah, man, it was crazy, bro. It was what a time to be alive, bro.
Ice Cube, get on it, man. We need a movie called The Fudgery.
Low-key, it would have slapped, though.
That sounds like an Ice Cube production. 1,000%.
All right, let's get one more story before we get up out of here, man, and we get up out of here. All right, come on, let's go with this last little story right here. All right, let's go with and I like the emojis on the stories, Hippie. That's a good little thing, kind of give us a idea of what's going on right there. No, not that one. We might as well move that rock one out of there. Okay, people paying $200,000 to freeze their bodies, jeez, hoping to be revived. This is straight out of what's that? What's the cartoon? Will they be in a spaceship where Fry got frozen in the cryo stage?
Oh, you talking about Futurama?
Futurama. This is straight out of Futurama right here. As of 2026, the number of people in cryostasis. Oh, yeah. I just made something up. The number of people in cryostasis, the state of being legally dead but biologically preserved in liquid nitrogen, has grown to approximately 500 individuals worldwide. They paid up to $200,000 to freeze their bodies. Some froze, only their heads. They believe future technology will bring them back to life.
What do they think is going to happen where you just need to freeze the head? What was that, a discount deal? Like, yeah, just freeze my head. I can't afford the whole thing.
That's the Futurama shit, bro. Because remember, like, a couple of the presidents, they had their head in the drawers of Futurama. Right.
Yeah, and honestly, that's a play on the Disney rumor that Disney's head is frozen.
Oh, shit,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't trust people like that. Like, first of all, what do they expect? Like 1,000 years, 2,000 years? Like, who's gonna take care of you for that long?
That's my thing. Is like, if God forbid this war takes a turn for the worse, where are these warehouses that are housing these bodies? And what was to happen if one of these bodies got hit with something?
Or if the threat was close enough where the employees fled? Because I think that we, a minute ago on the show, we talked about another company that did this, but remember, it was like something with their AC and all of and everything melted, like the warehouse's AC went out, and it was like a heat. It was like a heat wave. So everybody who paid for that, pretty much like
that.
It's like having meat in the freezer that spoils. So now you frozen wet. And not refrigerated, so you might even come back worse than when you were here.
Hey, that's all bad, bro.
Nah.
That's all bad. Yeah, nah.
Trusting humans for this? If it was like something where we were like put in a cell on like a matrix shelf that was just in this place for forever, that might be something. But these are just Amazon warehouses randomly.
Right. Cryostasis? Did I say that right? Cryostasis. Bodies are primarily held at specialized facilities in the United States and abroad. The largest Alcor Life Extension Foundation is in Scottsdale, Arizona, one of the hottest places in the fucking state. Okay.
Right?
Holds around 200 people in liquid nitrogen tanks known as doors. Other major locations include Cryonics Institute in Michigan. All right, that makes sense because it'd be cold as fuck over there. And firms like CryoRus in Russia, and Tomorrow Bio in Berlin.
I would trust Russia on paper. I don't know how they feel about black people. They might just unplug me. But I feel like in terms of like a lifelong, centuries-old building that's never touched and just has frozen people in a cold ass place, I would trust Russia. I would trust Russians. If I was white, which is really the only way I would consider something like this, I would go with the Russian. But man, cremation is so much cheaper.
Yeah, bro. I'm done. I don't need to be say, bro. Just get me out of here. I had a good time while I was here.
Now, if you can download me onto like a hard drive or something,
yeah,
and then I die naturally, and then you just happen to re-upload me later, I'm cool with that.
But they re-upload you, you would be a droid, though.
It would be. It would just be something that acts like me. Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't actually be you. I want to. Yeah, because I don't think they'd be able to get your consciousness. It'd just be like your character traits, right?
Yeah, I don't want to wake up after that long, too. Imagine how, like, think about how old we feel now with like music and all that shit. Like, you wake up in the year 4050, you gonna be like, bro, just put me back.
What if they wake you up, but it's not even humans? Like, human civilization has been wiped out, and aliens traveling throughout space happen to find it, and they have the technology to thaw you out, and they be like, pets.
Yep. Now that's crazy. Now you paid $200,000 to be tortured for the rest of your life on an experimental bed. Like, what's this?
Bro, this motherfuckers.
Like, ah, my dick.
Treat you like a G.I. Joe. That's crazy. Oh, man. All right, man. Listen, we're about to get up out of here. Hope you guys, we actually, you know what? We'll talk on the next episode after this, but we. Anyway, as always, ladies and gentlemen, I'm to hear more.
I'm Patrick Cloud.
And we'll see you next week on another episode of Damn Internet. You scary. Peace, bye, guys.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.